Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske File. You hear that? That's brand new music right there. Look at that. What do you think of that? If you like that, let me know. If you didn't like it, also let me know. It's probably going to stick around though for a little while until I get tired of it. But we're picking up the production on this. And what this is if you're just joining us, this is a podcast where we're running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation and giving our thoughts, opinions, feelings, all deep desires about these episodes, whatever we get stirred up inside ourselves from these episodes and whatever things we think are funny, don't hold up, all that gets mentioned. And on this episode, we are up to Coming of Age, which is episode 19 of season 1 of Star Trek The Next Generation. It's directed by Mike Vahar, written by Sandy Frias, and it aired back in March 14th, 1988. This is the episode where Wesley Crusher takes the Starfleet Academy entrance exam, while an admiral and a lieutenant commander visit the Enterprise and investigate the senior staff. Okay, so for this one, we're going to be joined by Modi Operandis. He is a returning veteran. He's been here before. And we talk about this episode, Coming of Age, which we both kind of liked. We both thought it was pretty good. First season is picking up. The episodes leading up to this have not all been great, but this one is, we've had a string of, I think, a couple at least getting 2 out of 5 or 3 out of 5, so with my rating system, at least. So this one's another good one. We get into it, and we will get into it right after the break. But first of all, some housekeeping here. If you're watching on YouTube, if you've enjoyed the content anyway, just leave a like and a comment. If you're listening on iTunes, a rating or a review is much appreciated there. All these things aren't just for my ego, but it actually helps the show get out there more. It improves all the rankings on YouTube and iTunes and all that good stuff. So thank you very much, guys, for listening. I appreciate it. Every watch is much, much appreciated by me. So after the break, let's get to Modi Operandis and I talking about Coming of Age.
Captain's log, stardate 41416.2. We're orbiting Relva 7, where Wesley Crusher is about to be tested for entrance into Starfleet Academy. And to my great surprise, I have just learned that my old friend Admiral Gregory Quinn is on Relva 7 and has requested to be beamed aboard the Enterprise immediately.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Penske File. We are here continuing our Let's Watch a Star Trek. This one's called Coming of Age, and we're joined today by Modi Operandis. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Okay, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no problem. Welcome back to the show here. So what'd you think of this episode? I know I kind of sprang it on
finally
you.
Finally... Given me a good one.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah. I love this episode.
I was, it's sort of like a break into it. I was watching it and I was trying to think of, you know, because I rank them 1 to 5. I think it's a 3, but I don't feel like it's that great. But then by the end, it's certainly in a 3 territory. Potentially even
it's
a
very
4.
Well written, I think. There's a lot of good, like, callbacks to prior episodes. There's a lot of good subtext going on at the very beginning of the thing where you don't know what's going on, but you can tell there's a lot of history everywhere.
Yes.
It's really good.
Yep. And I feel like the characters sort of come into their own. We'll sort of get into that. But this is a... I feel like this is one of the first episodes I've seen where it's the Picard that I know from the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's like, righteously angry. You know, but he's sort of under control. He's not getting randomly upset with things. He's calm and very diplomatic about everything. And his final scene with Wesley is basically, you know, that's like the father figure character that he becomes eventually. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really the first episode where I've seen that so prominently and well played by him.
Yeah, no, I love that scene with them at the end there. That's probably my favorite scene of the episode.
Yep. It's definitely that scene that pushed it. I will give this a 3, I think. But let's get into it. So, two random bits of trivia. The first one is very minor in my eyes. This is the first episode that featured a Vulcan. Or, at least, you know, it had a Vulcan in it.
Right.
I guess Gene Roddenberry had wanted, he'd written in the show Bible that he didn't want to do any Vulcans because he was sort of burnt out on them and he wanted to explore other species. And the second fact, which was a little bit more surprising, and I had to rack my brain thinking about it, this is the first appearance of a shuttlecraft.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. It's kind of surprising.
It is. Yeah. I'm surprised it took that long, and I feel like there must have been scenes in previous episodes where people were shuttling around, but I guess not.
Huh.
And it's
that's interesting.
It's noticeable because they only built the cockpit. Like, the way they shoot the shuttlecraft scene, it's very obvious that they only built the chair and the console in front of it, and they had to shoot it very awkwardly. But, yeah, those are the two weird facts. So it's kind of it's an interesting episode, like you said, that it pulls in a lot of past episodes it mentions.
Yeah.
And it also starts introducing a lot of stuff that is important going forward, like the shuttlecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So to start off here, it's an episode that continues the wonderful Star Trek theme of every time an admiral appears, he's going to be a douche to people.
Pretty much. Sure.
This one brings in what we're led to believe is an old friend of Picard. Picard seems to be old friends with every admiral in Starfleet.
Yeah.
And he's got his right-hand man, Remick, and they've come on to investigate the ship. And that's the A storyline. And the B storyline is Wesley Crusher doing his entrance exam.
Two really strong storylines, too.
Yeah, you liked...
A and B were both really good.
You liked the Wesley storyline?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked him and Mordok. Mordok's probably one of my favorite characters, I think, especially in season one here.
Yeah, as someone they bring in. I think it's a super strong Wesley storyline in terms of Wesley as, like, a character. I had some real logic problems with the Starfleet exam. I thought it was a little bit cliched, and I thought that it seems incredibly wasteful as a way, you know, there must be thousands and tens of thousands of roles in Starfleet, and the way that
they take one person out of those four,
out of five, and you have to go to a specific planet, you know, it seems like a huge ordeal basically to undergo this thing. And then they pick one of you, and, they also do what I would consider psychological torture to their candidates.
Yeah, also that. The psych test, as Wesley calls it, is a little extreme.
Yes. And
but, yeah.
It's very 1984. Just your worst fear basically comes alive and you have to deal with it. And it's super dark. Wesley Crusher's thing is dealing with the death of his father in exactly the same way that Picard had to deal with it. And then... You know, he's, like, emotionally scarred, and then the actors just stand up and, like, shake his hand and be like, oh, great work.
How's it going? Yeah.
Off we go.
Little freaking. I mean, Mordok was shaking when he got out of his, so it's not bad.
He was. Yeah, his hands were trembling. They probably took away his little breathing nose strip or whatever that thing
that
is.
That could be, yeah.
And otherwise, I just thought that the logic of the Wesley thing was a little bit strange, and the scenes themselves were fine. You know, Wheaton is doing okay as an actor. The girl who was in it for
was bad.
She was bad, and she's also in it for no particular reason.
No.
Just to call him cute, I guess.
Basically it, yeah.
And
give a distraction for Wesley.
Yeah, it wasn't even really, you know, doesn't amount to anything, but she was a terrible actress, and then
it was not good.
The questions were a little bit strange. They asked him that first question, I think you see, and it's like incredibly complicated, like explain how much antimatter you're going to need to go warp 8 for whatever things. So I'm like, wow, the future's really, these guys really know their stuff. And then I was kind of happy with it was a trick question. And it's just like, it's just the answer is just 1-to-1. And it was like, I expected a lot more out of that.
It's not that complicated, actually.
So it gave me hope for the future. Maybe I'd be able to do that. I'd be like, oh, antimatter and matter, obviously a 1-to-1. How else could it be? So you liked the what'd you like about that storyline?
I don't know. I think it was, as you said, a better Wesley storyline than we've gotten in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I also even like the C storyline of the cadet that didn't make it into the testing. I thought that was an interesting storyline too, where he runs away with the cruiser there, the little transport.
Yep. Yes.
That was even that little storyline was. I mean, that's what I mean about this just being well written all across the board here.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, basically, because I suppose his whole function is he introduces the idea that Wesley's gotten, has beaten out people to get into this exam.
Yeah.
And
they set it up as a big, like, and it is, I mean, you only take, you get four people, and then only one of those four gets to go on to the academy. And out of those people, out of those four people, they had beat a bunch of other people out. So they kind of set it up as this big, big to-do.
They did.
Kind of thing.
And, if I have one qualm, I think they played that scene, the opening scene, a little bit erotically. Like they could have hinted. He's like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "Nothing." He's like, "You know, I had to do whatever." It's like, "Wow, this I don't know where this is going, but oh, okay, they're just he passed the test and he didn't." So they let that go a little bit long, but it was fine. The kid was a good actor, I thought.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
He had to play against Stewart and Wheaton. Wheaton's a little bit easier of a task, but
yeah,
he was good. And I mean, his whole thing is just, I suppose, prove to Remick that Picard cares about the crew and people on it, even if they're not crew members. Like, I assume this kid is not.
Yeah.
And that the scene was, pretty good. It made no sense why they couldn't transport him out of there.
It depends on what the writers need. Basically, how far the teleporter works
right.
is based
you
upon
can beam
how far
people,
away
beam people the to the planet's surface, but for some reason
not when it's moving
around. And they also, I mean, they mention the tractor beam. They're just like, oh, he's too far away. Which you go, okay, that's fine. But
whatever.
Yeah, they could have just transported him out. But it's good. That's kind of my general feeling about this episode. It's like I like everything, but everything kind of has a tiny mistake that's like distracting me.
It fits too neatly sometimes.
It does.
The way that they have to do that kind of thing of, oh, the teleporter's too far away now. We can't do it.
Yeah.
Even though we beam people from the planet and down to the planet all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And between ships and everything. But so, I mean, that's really my general sense. I guess we'll get into what we think after. I had a couple more scenes I wanted to go on. I hope you are aware that this is a monumentally, there's one more trivia thing that's monumentally important about this episode. And that is, this is the first Riker chair mount.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, it was an epic chair mount, too. He got right up in Remick's face when he did it.
There are several seeming discrepancies in the captain's log. Let's go over them one by one, shall we?
The captain's log?
Yes. To the best of your knowledge, has the captain ever falsified a log?
Have you discussed this with him?
Right now, I'm asking you.
If you want to discuss anything about Captain Picard, you bring him in here and you ask him face to face.
You are required to answer my questions, Mr. Riker, unless you're trying to cover something up.
It was a great scene because my buddy Clay, who does these with me sometimes, he always laughs about how Frakes is particularly physical with his stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always sort of got his leg up on things, or he's like, you know, doing something like that. He starts that scene by puffing out his chest dramatically, and then he just throws his leg right over the back of that chair, and I cheered a little bit.
I can't believe that was the very first time that happened, because that was really like, he just went for it in that scene there. It just got up right in his face. Like, he mounted the chair and got a little bit too close. It felt like the table wasn't big enough.
That's right.
He was expecting it to be.
He was leaning over that table very intensely. But yeah, as far as I can tell, that I've been looking for it, and that was the first time I've noticed it. And
that's awesome.
It's a good little bit of trivia to pull out, and a good little gif or whatever you want to take. And let's see, something else. This was by far also the biggest speaking that Worf has had to do. He had an entire scene.
He had good scenes too.
Yeah,
just thinking of back to those. It was a good moment between him and Wesley in the holodeck.
Mm-hmm.
And that interview scene with Remick when it's going between the all the different officers.
Yep.
That's a really good scene. I like how that was done.
I thought his was the best. His made the most sense for his character. Uh-huh. Crusher. That got a little personal very quickly. Like, I understand that's the point of it, but I don't know if the guy was, I guess he's, if you consider story-wise, he's kind of grasping for straws at that point.
Pretty much,
So I guess that makes sense. Troy's was bad. She delivered her terrible line badly. But Worf was excellent.
That was a good scene.
Worf
was good.
His holodeck scene was good. It explained the most of the character that we've actually been privy to so far.
It was a complex character building moment for sure.
Yep. And it makes sense. I mean, the Klingon with fear makes sense, or, yeah, you know, honor and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I mean, it's a whole bunch of, and it also, just in general script terms, this felt like the most modern script. Scenes intercut well. It never felt draggy, like previous episodes have.
Mm-hmm.
So would you think of the Admiral storyline?
The Admiral story, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. I guess he's vetting Picard for this assignment and also his whole conspiracy theory here.
Yep.
But the lengths that Remick was going to of, you know, well, as you mentioned with the scene with Crusher where it was very personal, if he's just vetting him to see if he's on the level, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense why they'd want Remick going into all of that necessarily.
Yeah, but it seems like the Admiral gave him very, just great. You're right. It's the logic of what they're doing doesn't really tie into whether you're trying to figure out if he's corrupt or not. It seems like you're going completely overboard.
Yeah.
But this conspiracy theory, it's sort of hidden. You know, I wish they had pushed it a little bit more. I kind of got the sense, I know what the episode's about, but just having watched it, I was sitting there thinking at the end, I got the stronger impression that they were just offering him an admiralty.
That would make more sense if that was all it was.
Right.
Why they would want to get into his personal history with his officers and that kind of thing. But if it's vetting him for an ally in the conspiracy theory, that doesn't make a lot of sense then.
Right, exactly. And he's basically just giving him a position to get him close by, to have him on Earth, essentially, and be an ally, like, standing around. So I felt like they stressed that wrong, because the conspiracy angle is stronger, because this storyline continues in, like, six episodes.
Mm-hmm.
With these characters come back, the Admiral and Remick. And, I mean, the trivia of this is that this was supposed to be the origin of the Borg.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. With the conspiracy being the Borg taking over somehow?
No, the Borg are, to not get into, in the second episode where this conspiracy is revealed, that alien is supposed to be what the Borg were going to be. That little creature.
Okay.
And they eventually got to that point and they're like, this is too much money, and it also, it's not appealing enough to have this be like the constant threat. Maurice Hurley had this idea of this was going to be the episode that was going to plant the seeds of what the Borg were, and then in season two, it would continue, and then go on from there. So, I applaud their effort to kind of put a pretty interesting storyline into this, the first season.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's, ultimately, I haven't watched the second part of this in a little while, but we'll get to it, but ultimately it does build to something. I just feel like they could have set this one up a little bit better. In terms of
they didn't push the conspiracy angle hard enough, especially if they're going to bring it back again.
Yep.
And it does come off as, oh, they're vetting him for admiralty.
Yep.
But it doesn't, the conspiracy angle should have been, like, emphasized a little bit more here, I think.
Yes. I think that's the one sort of downside to it. But yeah, I think it's a super solid episode. I'm not particularly excited about the Wesley stuff. We might slightly disagree about that. But I thought the Enterprise stuff was really, really good. I like that the characters are sort of coming into their own. It's interesting. I have never watched this series one after the other in actual chronological order, because just when I came into it, I was just watching episodes every here and there. Mm-hmm. And never, you know, I was too young to watch it as it aired, so I would just watch episodes that sounded exciting. And it's interesting to see the development. It's also reassuring because the first half of the first season was pretty much garbage.
So bad.
And
so bad.
It's actually coming together a lot more quickly than I had thought. And it helps with, I thought this episode had a good script and good direction and all of that stuff. This Mike Vahar is the director. It's the only episode he did, but he went on to Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. But I thought this was a pretty good direction. And it was written by Sandy Frias, who I don't think ever returned. All right, so let's go into what other people thought here.
Sure.
This it aired way back in 1988, March. It had a Nielsen rating of 10, which was an increase over Home Soil. A couple of reviewers watched it at the end of the series. Tor.com questioned why the shuttle bay wasn't guarded, which...
which is a Remick question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It brings him in. But I don't think I've ever... you don't usually see guards in the shuttle bay, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they don't show it too often, but yeah, when they do, I don't think there's anybody standing watch on it that they really emphasize.
And I sort of, in the Star Trek universe, it makes sense it wouldn't need to be. Like, everyone... My idea of this universe is, you know, everyone is sort of honorable, except if they're an alien or a stranger or something. So you wouldn't need to guard the shuttle bay.
Well, even still in the episode, they kind of explained that this kid was a somewhat trusted, you know, person on board. They didn't have, he had access to the different areas and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because he'd been...
You know, they didn't have any reason not to trust him.
Right, he'd been applying to the academy, so he goes through training, and shuttle bay training is part of it. So, I mean, it's not... Yeah, I don't really agree with that criticism. He also felt that the sequence where the shuttle was bounced off the atmosphere resembled an episode of Farscape. I have nothing to say about that. I don't know Farscape. Do you know Farscape?
No, not familiar with it.
DeCandido said the exam made no sense and that there were no surprises, as it was obvious that Wesley and Picard were not due to leave the series. I suppose that didn't really affect me that much. I don't mind knowing that they're going to fail. It's all about their...
I mean... If you look at it that perspective, you never know. You never think that any of the characters are ever in any real peril.
Right.
Then, if you look at it from that perspective, okay, then nothing matters as far as the dramatic things that happen on the show.
Exactly.
If you think that it's all about contracts. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, exactly. I agree. And sorry. So let me just continue here. I guess the only thing that was that slightly throws that for a loop is Best of Both Worlds. I guess I don't remember this, but I guess there was controversy about whether Stewart would actually return in the fourth season.
Oh.
So that cliffhanger did a better job at sort of exposing those opinions. Let's see here. Premier, he called Remick the ultimate cliche of the jackass interrogator.
I would disagree with that too.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, yeah, he did a lot of cliched, like, I don't know, what would you, like, auditor kind of things of, you know, wanting to pick apart every single thing. But at the end, the turn of it wanting to be on the ship at the end of it was a non-cliché thing, I think.
Yeah, to just be so impressed by the crew.
Yeah, and that he wants to join the Enterprise.
So I think it's good writing because it obviously exposes the character as he's not actually that way. He's just kind of doing it to get his job done.
Exactly, he's doing his job kind of thing, yeah.
I don't agree with... I usually like Keith Candido's stuff on this, but I don't agree with his review of this episode. He said he liked it. He credited the strong performances and called Wheaton's performance the best of his first season.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a score of 5 out of 10. AV Club, Zach Hanlon said the episode was like getting a two-parter with no to be continued in the ending credits.
It kind of.
Yeah.
I guess. Because it was a continuing storyline, but...
You don't know that. Yeah. So it does feel... I suppose that's true. Watching with hindsight, you know.
I think it's resolved. I mean, the title of the episode's Coming of Age. Picard makes a choice to be the captain versus the teacher kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, help people a different way. And then Wesley's Coming of Age story, I think it ties up neatly. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a cliffhanger to me, necessarily.
No, it doesn't feel like it. I guess it's the, we've mentioned this before, too. The first season has this problem of... as you're running through the plot, someone will mention something else that's going on that sounds infinitely more interesting than the current plot is happening. And if you are watching this episode not knowing it's the first part of a two-parter, the fact that they just bring up this far-reaching conspiracy and then the guy leaves, I would see that as sort of be like, what the hell happened there?
I mean, the Admiral Quinn there says something like, maybe I'm just been looking at politics too long or something like that. So, I mean, it kind of plays it off like maybe it's nothing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is a little bit. I mean, we also mentioned earlier, though, that they don't play up the conspiracy enough to really make you interested in it.
Right.
At the same time. Even though it does sound interesting, it doesn't make it sound like it's going to be anything.
Right. And I wonder if that's... I don't know. I think they knew that this was going to be a continuing story. It must have been, because what we just talked about. So I guess not stressing it makes it feel like a more self-contained episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, yeah, I'd agree with that. Zach Hanlon thought the episode felt clunky. I don't particularly feel it's clunky. It has a couple mistakes, but I wouldn't...
There's a couple bad performances with the girl and the the Starfleet
Academy
stuff, a little bit of that, but there's enough there. Mordok and the instructor there were pretty good.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
He
felt that the Wesley storyline was cliche, I suppose, and that having the two unconnected storylines would never have happened in the original series. I don't know about that, but it feels like it's a first season thing to do, to have two entirely separate storylines going on.
Yeah, that's happened a bit, where they don't have the... I mean, later on it gets better with the storylines converging a lot more.
Yes.
But...
Yep. It's just... It's.
I don't know. I mean, there was a parallel to be drawn between Picard and Wesley here,
mm-hmm.
I think, of coming-of-age, like, stories.
Yeah.
So,
no, I agree. Thematically, I think they tie together better,
right.
better than, like, that episode where they're transporting the lizards and the monkey people who hate each other, and that's just in the episode for no reason. He gave it an episode of, a score of C. Dennett Geek said it was a very good episode despite being Wesley heavy. He recommended that readers watch the episode and described the Remick interviews and the shuttlecraft sequences as fantastic. I think I agree with this Dennett Geek guy more than anybody else so far. Michelle Green, whilst writing for Trek Nation, described the episode as craptastic and Wesley as intolerable. Wow. Huh.
It was very self-aware, though. There was a moment where the one girl said, you know, if you weren't so cute, you'd be obnoxious kind of thing. I thought that was a very self-aware of the series line there,
mm-hmm.
that they realize they make him too much sometimes,
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah, they do ask too much of him. She said that knowing about the, quote, insane alien conspiracy in Conspiracy ahead of time made her look negatively on this episode.
Well, that doesn't affect... I mean, yeah, that affects your perception of the episode, but it doesn't affect the episode necessarily.
Yeah,
so you judge it on its own merits.
No, I'm surprised by the amount of...
A lot of negative reviews that I'm just blowing apart here. I don't know.
No, I'm surprised by the breadth of the reviews. So, like, some of them are like, this is great, and others are like, this is intolerable. So, I usually haven't seen that. Everyone's kind of been usually agreeing that this is okay or this is better.
Right,
slightly
yeah, that's
better
true.
Than okay. So that's interesting, but
I think the dividing line here is with whether you view it as a two-part thing with this and Conspiracy.
Yeah.
Or if you view it on its own merits. If you view it on its own merits, I think it comes off a little bit better than if you view it as a two-parter.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah, so would it be, if I saw this as... Yeah, if I saw this standing alone, I would have been more confused by the dropping the Conspiracy storyline. If it's part of a two-part, it's sort of a slow build, but you don't know that at that point. So it makes these difficult to discuss when the episodes are not just two-parters because they're 2 hours long and right next to each other.
Plus, they waited 6 weeks in between this episode and the follow-up to it,
I know,
too, which is interesting.
A risky move before DVRs. People get to that episode and be like, what the hell's going on?
What happened 6 weeks ago?
Who is this guy? And the... Conspiracy, I think, I only remember Conspiracy because of the Riker karate kick that happens in that episode, which is so fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait.
It'll be good. Yeah, so you should come back for that one because I'll need to,
I think that sounds good.
We'll need to compare what we think about that one. So, do you have any, final thoughts about this one?
No, you know where I stand. I thought it was, I would go with your assessment that it's a 3 for sure. A strong 3.
It is.
3.5 maybe.
I'm considering giving it a 3.5, but I think I've given... Sorry, let me just open up my ratings. What have I given? I have given something a 3.5. It is Home Soil.
Okay.
This might be better than Home Soil. I don't know if I should retroactively go back and adjust my ratings.
You can't. No, everything's just, you're going to have to switch to a 10-point scale instead of a 5.
I know.
That's all you have to do.
I know. I was like, I'm not going to do 0.5s unless it's like rarely. I'm going to be completely honest with people. I'm going to bump Home Soil down to a 3, and this is a 3.5. I think this is the best episode I've seen so far. So that'll
this
be
is
it.
A very strong episode. Strongly written and well-directed and just... Good performances from a lot of the cast.
Yep, and I think it's definitely the best of the first season so far. So, cool. Thank you very much, Mr. Modi Operandis. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Thank you very much. Just my YouTube channel, Modi Operandis, is the name you can search for on YouTube. You'll find some good stuff there.
Find some good stuff. He does have good videos. You guys can check him out. But otherwise, you're also going to be the first guest with my new intro theme music, which you'll have to tell me if this is horrible or what goes on, but it's going to go up with it. And if it doesn't appear next week, you'll know that Modi told me it was a fucking atrocious thing that should have been taken down. So
we'll see.
Thank you guys very much, and cue the music, and we will see you guys next time.